Access all areas with Joanna Shimonides and Stephen Lang on FUBAR Radio.
Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of Access All Areas with myself, Joanna Shimonides, and
me, Stephen Lang. Well done, you did an intro.
Before, right? I just always try and put it on you just for fun. I'm like, yes, I won.
Welcome to Access All Areas. We have another barnstorming show lined up this evening.
Yes, we do.
But it's been a busy week for you, Joanna. Probably not.
Oh, I mean, I was sitting here before I started, Stephen. I was like, do you know what? What have I done this week? Have I been busy? Have I done anything different? No. I am bored now. But yeah, I'm just bored. I'm really bored. But work has really picked up. I actually thought, okay, by the end of lockdown, come on, like is work going to come in? I don't know. But it has been just picking up. So that's the best thing about it all. But aside from that, in terms of me being proactive and stuff, absolutely not. Productive, proactive, same thing.
But as I've been noticing in recent weeks, your workout game, right up there.
Yes, I've stuck to it. I had to cancel one of them because I literally just thought, I was like, I just can't be bothered today. You know,
that's fine.
Not today, all right? I'm just not in the mood. But I have upped my game with it. I've been like sticking to it. My PT, she's amazing. And literally, she's just been like, she does not let you off easy. She is like, keep going, you're doing it. And I was like, I literally can't move. And she went, I don't care. She went, keep going. And I think I need someone to be like that. Otherwise, I genuinely won't see any results. You know,
yeah.
Bun. It's going to take a while.
Well, like I tried to say to you before, Kim Kardashian's bum is more than just exercise. I'm just saying. But you are absolutely right. Like, my problem is at the moment, I'm just really, really struggling with a lack of motivation.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't know. Motivation is something you can't really force. Like, you're either motivated to do it or you're not.
And do you know what I tried to do? You know when we had Mr. Motivator on and he was you know, wake up in the morning and suddenly like just say to yourself, you know, I'm in a good mood. You decide your moods. I woke up this morning and I went, I'm going to be happy. No, it didn't work. I'm trying. I'm sitting there going, come on, Joe. Like being in a good mood. Like, I can't wait for today to start. No, I literally woke up and I was like, yep, another day of doing nothing.
Yeah, it's getting a bit much, isn't it? But apparently I've actually just seen the government press briefing that they actually... doing now is that they were saying that some shops are now going to be properly open from Monday. So like more like clothes shops and things like that, as long as they're prepared to have some social distancing measures. But would you be prepared to stand outside in queue to get in?
Absolutely not. Online is all for, I'm all for online. I'll just sit online in my own home with a cup of tea, feet up, and you just look for your clothes. I'm not going to queue up and risk my life just for the sake of getting a t-shirt saying hi. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I know what you mean, Baze. I know what you mean. I think I'm kind of personally, I'm not even much of a shopper, but having the option to go somewhere else that isn't like my flat, someone's garden or the fucking park. I am bored of the park. I am bored of the park or Tesco and Sainsbury's. Like, because basically this year is cancelled, isn't it? So we just have to make the most of the situation that we can.
Just like use and abuse going to the shops and stuff. I see where you're going with that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So I'm hopeful that maybe I'll get to do some more things with my life.
Fingers crossed. But I tell you what put me in a good mood the last few days, the fact that McDonald's and Starbucks is open. And when I tell you, Stephen, I've had three McDonald's already. I've had two days of Starbucks, right? And I can't stop because even today I was like, a bit hungry. Should I go to McDonald's? And I was like, no, Joe, stop it. So I went to Starbucks instead.
It's probably about the same calories, to be honest, Baze. But you're never going to be able to keep up your amazing new body if you're eating three McDonald's a week.
Stephen, you just go to the loo. That's it. It's out. It's out of you.
Joanna, that's not how it works.
Honestly,
otherwise, I would be as thin as a rake, and I am not. So.
Well, my metabolism is so fast. Honestly, anything I put in my mouth, I feel like it just disappears within an hour. It's gone. In the nicest way possible, it's gone.
Sounds lovely, Joanna. Yeah, beautiful.
But I did say that when lockdown like eases off a little bit, what was the first thing I was going to do? Go Starbucks. And I stuck to my words and I did it and I'm very proud.
Well, babes, as long as you enjoyed it, that's the whole thing. Like exactly like finding the motivation to work out and all that stuff. If you want to do it, you just do it. Like, that's the thing. So
exactly. And have you, again, not exactly. Don't take the piss or anything. Just keep going.
No.
Have you met up any more friends? How have you been?
I did see, it was my friend's birthday last weekend, so I went to go see her. We sat in the park, but it rained, so that was the end of that fun. Yeah, been back working as normal. I'm giving some consideration to whether or not I should go visit my family at some point soon.
Yeah.
I haven't seen my mum since Christmas, or my grandparents. I've seen my sister and my nephews came in February, and we went to a press screening of this new film, which was really lovely. But since then, obviously, it's all kind of fired up, so I couldn't go initially. Now you're not really supposed to. But I was thinking if I went for the day, I stayed distant. I went in the gardens. I didn't stay overnight. But
yeah.
The thing is that getting around for me, so I'd have to get the train down to where I'm from near Portsmouth. Then I'd have to basically walk between my sister's house, my grandma's house, my mum's house, which is about an hour in between each one.
Oh, gosh.
So it's like, by the time I'd have to get up super early on a weekend, like, do you know what I mean? Get down there for like 9 so that I would have enough time to get around everyone and see them, because you don't really want to get on a bus. And, exactly. So debating whether or not it's worth it. You know, I'm still in touch with everyone and we're talking on the phone and that, but it's just not quite the same. My nephew's growing up so quick, I don't want to miss anything. So
yeah, they now we're not seeing them, they're growing up so quickly, it's actually scary. But I feel like you're allowed to mingle with up to 6 people, obviously at a social distance. So if you ever get the urge to do it, just do it. I mean, I saw Katie the other day and we just like, wherever we walk in the park and we stayed we stayed apart and stuff, and it was such a nice walk. I felt like I was myself again. I think a lot of people are losing themselves in this. I think we're all like a bit like, how do you even socially interact anymore? I mean, I went into Starbucks and I walked in, I thought, not a chance. And my hair was like, my hair extensions were out, my hair was in a low bun, I had no makeup on, I thought, not a chance anyone's going to recognise me. Time's gone, okay? Been in lockdown for ages, everyone's forgotten. Walk in, someone goes, oh my God, are you Joanna? And then her mate went, that's not Joanna. I was like, that's either a good or a bad thing.
She's far too ugly to be Joanna. What are you talking about?
She don't have no hair. Joanna's got plenty of hair.
What did you say? Did we go, actually, yes, I am.
I was like, and then she went, yeah, it is Joanna. I was like, yeah, I said it is. I said, I'm looking a bit rough today. I said, but it's quarantine and all that, you're allowed to look rough. And then they were just like, oh, so cute. And we're just all talking and stuff. But I mean, I don't know if that was offensive or not, but I'm just forgetting who am I? Stephen, who are you?
Well, who are we all? Yeah, who gives a fuck who we are? I mean, who cares, honestly? That's the point. But hopefully we care about the people we've got on the show today. See what I did there?
I love how you brought it all in. I love that. That was great.
Thanks. So we have Darren Kennedy, who is from new BBC series You Are What You Wear with Rylan Cartneal. And also my friend Joey Bevan, who... is one of the stylist people on the show. Then we have Rian Sugden on to talk about her new fake tan range. And also she's on a new Channel 4 show about being a page 3 girl,
yes.
Working in that industry, which obviously is a redundant industry anymore. Page 3 girl doesn't exist. So it's
a
different time. No, the Sun got rid of it maybe 2 years ago. So there is no such thing as a page 3 girl anymore.
That's smart. I didn't even know that. So you learn something new every day.
Yeah, I think the Daily Star still do something similar, but I'm not sure if it's every day. So yeah.
Oh wow.
And then we also have on my namesake Jamie. You know, he actually pronounced it Leng, like my name, but everyone calls
him
Jamie Leng. Yeah.
Ah.
I want to talk to him about that.
Where's he from? Whereabouts is it actually originated?
Scotland.
From?
Scotland.
So you've got Scottish in you then?
Yeah.
Wow. Do your best Scottish accent quickly. Go on.
No, I don't want to. Don't put me on the spot. It's like when someone asks you to sing, isn't it? It's like, no, I don't want to sing. Like, oh, how does that song go? No, I'm not singing it. No.
Full swing. And do you know what I mean? Like a bit Whitney Houston going on. Just going full swing.
Well, I wasn't really getting Whitney from you, though. I was getting more Britney.
Uh-huh. Okay, yeah.
Less Whitney, more Britney. so we have Jamie Leng on to talk about the latest podcast that he's doing with Spencer, and you've seen some of the clips, haven't you?
Yeah, and it's brilliant. It's absolutely hilarious. I don't know if it's actually all out now, but I just see a little like sort of a sneak peek of one of the episodes, like the first one I think it was, and it's brilliant. It's funny, so I'm actually excited to see how he talks about it, but also to see them as well. So
yeah.
I'm sometimes first ones can be really good and then it just dies down a little bit over the next few. So hopefully they keep up, which I'm sure he will. He's amazing, Jamie.
Yeah, Jamie's very funny. So, yeah, be interesting to hear from him. And also whether or not, because it wouldn't be us if we don't talk about Strictly on every bloody show. we can also ask him whether or not he's going to be doing Strictly this year, because he had to bow out last year at the last minute because he injured himself.
Foot injury, yeah. God, imagine that.
I mean, you'd be fuming, wouldn't you? Because Strictly is such a big platform. You'd just be like, no, don't want this.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll get called back anyway. I'm sure. You can't not have him on.
I think so. I think so too. And I reckon he'd be in with a good chance, you know, because he's a good character and people like him when they see him on screen. So.
Exactly.
So, yeah, exciting time.
And also, we've got some showbiz Love Island news.
Oh, yeah.
So, Demi and Luke have split up, and so have Ched. Is it Ched or Chad? It's Ched, isn't it?
Ched
and Jess. Yeah, so Ched and Jess have split up as well.
Are you surprised by any of them?
Do you know what? I feel bad in the sense that, you know, they come out of Love Island, they haven't really had much time to actually be with each other. We've gone into lockdown, a month, maybe 3 weeks after? It's like not knowing each other again. Do you know what I mean? Or it's like being in a very long distance relationship. And when you've gone from like suddenly being with each other like every day of the week in Love Island to then coming out, spending that time together and suddenly going to a complete lockdown, it doesn't surprise me in that sense because, you know, you're not seeing each other and you don't know each other enough to say, okay, do I trust them? Do I not trust them? We're not seeing each other. Like, do you miss them? Do you not? So it because of lockdown, no, I'm not surprised. But if it wasn't because of lockdown, I would be surprised. Well, I mean, I would be surprised.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I think I think we may have talked about it before, actually, like that this whole situation is going to kind of make or break many couples because, first of all, if you don't live together, and you've been sticking to the rules, which isn't necessarily always the case, you know, you won't have seen your partner for a long time. And then if you are spending all your time with your partner, that can also be a bit much because we're just not used to being together as creatures 24/7. We go to work, we go to the shops, you know, we go see our friends by ourselves. And if you can't do any of that, does that kind of bring up some issues, you know?
Well, do you know what my conclusion is, Stephen?
What?
Just stay single.
Yeah, babes, I'm with you. I'm absolutely with you.
Honestly, the amount of stories I'm hearing in lockdown, I just think, oh, praise the Lord, I'm single. I'm so glad because I just can't. Like, my mate's telling me a story about going down her boyfriend's phone and seeing stuff he said to his friends. And I'm like, do you know what? Keep me out. I'm out. I'm all out.
I'm out.
I'm out. I'm all out.
Drop me out.
Literally, and obviously we've got more Love Island news with Molly May and Tommy's dog, unfortunately, did pass away, the little puppy.
Oh, yeah, so they only had it for a few days, right? And then she kind of got quite badly trolled for the whole thing, didn't she?
I feel for her, okay? I am like, you know, it's not her fault. You know, it's a common thing to actually get dogs from Russia, especially that breed. What was the breed? I think it was...
I don't know. It looked very cute, like a little Pomeranian kind of thing.
So Pomeranian. So that breed actually comes from Russia, so they breed them over there and stuff, so it's not an unnormal thing sort of thing to do that anyway. But my issue is the petition picture is Molly May's dog, okay? They're stopping the breeding of or sort of like the farming of dogs and stuff like that, but the petition picture is Molly May's dog. That is what I don't agree with, the fact that it's a bit insensitive, the fact that their dog has just passed away and then you're using that picture to, and a lot of influencers are doing it as well, they're putting the picture up on Instagram going like, okay, let's everyone sign this. But imagine how Molly May feels when that's her dog, that's her puppy on there.
Yeah, true. I guess she probably doesn't have, you're definitely not expecting that, are you, when something tragic happens to you. But this is one of the problems of becoming really famous from a TV show is that people think they can kind of treat you however they want, you know, and sometimes that can be quite painful, especially if it's something you don't want to be publicised, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I think if they just got like a general picture of a Pomeranian from Google and put that on there, that would have been a little bit more sensitive to the situation. But then putting the actual picture of Mr. Chai, I absolutely love that name as well, Mr. Chai. You know, I was just a bit like, oh God, I can imagine how she feels, bless her. So, it's a sticky one, isn't it? But then when you're in the public eye, we don't really have say over much.
No, you don't. And that's kind of the problem. And yeah, people won't be thinking of her like a normal person, which is difficult. But yeah, is the way it is. I believe we have our first guest ready in the waiting room, Darren Kennedy.
Oh, exciting.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Amazing house you've got there.
Oh, thanks. My plants.
Yeah, I love it.
Hi, Chris.
Oh, lovely fan, Joanna.
I've called him Derek, my plant. Yes, you've got to name them.
I can see why he's a Derek, all right.
Thanks. how are you, Darren?
I'm really good. I'm just back from having an eye test because I had a green fly stuck in my eye for the past 24 hours.
Well, no.
So it's a success.
So are opticians open?
Yeah, Specsavers are open. Yeah, like it's appointment only. And so I made an appointment. So basically I was walking along the beach, enjoying the gorgeous sunshine, when this like little bugger like went straight into my eye and I was like, oh, and like he proper got me. Then I thought he was gone. And then I went about my business and I woke up yesterday morning. I'm like, there's something in the corner of my eye. And it was the fly completely wedged. Like I had to be almost.
Oh my God, that is horrible.
And then, it wasn't causing me any pain or any discomfort. I just didn't like the fact that I had
understandable. Yeah.
Living off my eye. And I woke up this morning and it was gone, but I wasn't sure if it had like rolled to the back of my head and I started getting all paranoid. But I'm fine.
You're fine. There is no flies in your eyes. Well, that's good to know.
No flies on me.
Good one. Very good. Darren, you are taking part or starring in, no, I don't really know what the term is, in a new BBC series, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Please tell us about it. I was actually saying earlier on, you're actually working with a friend of mine, Jerry.
Oh, yeah.
It's already been recorded, yeah. But
So have you spoken to Joey? Of course.
Yeah.
So You Are What You Wear it's a brand new fashion makeover show on BBC One. It's quite interesting because it's the first time that BBC have had fashion in 15 years. The last time fashion was on like BBC One was 2005.
Was it like Trini and Susanna times?
Yeah.
Like back then, yeah.
Exactly. And obviously, you know, everything fashion has moved on, our approach to fashion has moved on. And I think this show is all about positive, uplifting vibes. So it's not about calling out what's not good about you. It's about emphasizing, you know, the best parts of you and bringing out the best of you. And I guess in many respects, it's kind of like, body positivity, and it's feeling good from the outside in. And that really is it in a nutshell. So each week we have a series of clients who come into us and they get a kind of the once over with Rylan in a mirror room. And that can be really emotional. And it can be, you know, because when someone puts themselves forward for a makeover and like this person tells you that they haven't shopped for clothes in 10 years or they've avoided their appearance for 15 years or, and it all started with a divorce or God knows what, you know, they're incredibly vulnerable. And I guess, you know, I'd be very sensitive to that. And across the show, we're all very sensitive to that. And like, I was exhausted because it was a total emotional roller coaster in the most beautiful way though. And I think like the energy of the show is very uplifting, but I will say have a box of Kleenex at the ready because you will shed a tear.
Oh.
Not multiple tears.
Well, sorry, go on.
No, it's just like at the end of each filming day, I was like exhausted from the emotional energy that I'd expended
in the
most gorgeous way.
Oh,
and so what is your role on the show then?
So I'm part of the style team. So basically, Ryland's the host and then we're a style squad of five stylists. We're all very, very different. There's myself and Joey and then there's three other ladies, Nana, Lucy and Kat. And we're all, I guess, very distinct in our own tastes, in our own styles, but we're all excellent at what we do. And we watch from behind the scenes and we're listening to each client's story. And then between us, we'll decide this person's absolutely for me. They don't realize we're watching. So it's almost like a goggle box element. One of us, whoever's styling that person, will step out from behind the mirror and whisk that person off on their styling experience. And then, you know, each person always brings a trusted confidant or partner, family member with them. And then at the end of this whole experience, we essentially reveal the made-over person.
Ah, okay.
So to give you an example, in episode one, one of my clients is a guy called Chris. And Chris is like mid-30s. I think he's from Yorkshire, 6'5", a big guy. And he only has black in his wardrobe. And this summer, he was supposed to be getting married to his partner. His partner's name escapes me, but the two of them have been together a couple of years and they're so in love and they're a gay couple. And he really wants to just dress and look well for his partner on their big day and like break away from the black. And what was lovely about Chris was he was really open and honest about his body confidence issues. So like, we don't often hear men, especially in mainstream, saying, oh, I wear black because I'm trying to cover my lumpy bits.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of like, where, you know, everyone has some sort of hang up. And so it was, so I was like, okay, Chris, well, what's really interesting about this is you are focusing in on the parts that you obviously aren't happy with. But I'm looking at you and I'm going, oh my God, you're 6'5". Half the country are going to want to climb you. You've gorgeous blue eyes. You know, like, so focusing in on the assets and looking at, okay, listen, these are the cards we've been dealt right now. Let's make the most of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's a really, really positive way to think of it. And I think actually someone like Rylan is a really good good person to have in that, because people really warm to him, don't they? And he's quite an easy person to... Yeah.
You know, and I have to say, for me, it's kind of like my outlook on life. Like, people say, you know, sometimes, are you a glass half full or a glass half empty? I'm like, I'm just happy to have a glass. You know?
It's a good one.
Really, honestly.
I think it's really good as well that you all sort of choose to take on someone that you think is like appropriate for yourself as well. Because I think if I was ever chosen to do something like that, I've got my own style, but someone might come in and I'd be like, I don't know how to style them up. They might have completely different styles. So, because when there's a lot of other TV shows that have done this before as well, you know, they kind of shame them for the way they are. But actually, let's look at the positive of your style and say, how can we actually make you more comfortable in the way, you know, how you dress yourself and stuff. So I really like the aspect of it.
And you've hit the nail on the head there. And that's what it's about. It's about, you know, not forcing anyone to do anything. And, you know, when you work as a stylist, a huge part of the job is trust. And I'll always say to a client at the beginning of it, it's like, I'm not here to force you into doing anything that you don't feel comfortable in. You know, the end result of this whole process is you walking out of here with a big smile on your face and feeling good and confident in what you're wearing. And it's, you know, and I think that's really important. And also listening to the person and being able to empathize with them. Because, you know, even though I may not have gone through the exact same experience, but, you know, it's being able to put yourself in that person's shoes. And that's what makes it, I guess. That's why we all get so invested.
In the task at hand,
you know. So it is, I'm so proud of it, actually. Before lockdown, we had a viewing and we got to see the first two episodes. And, you know, because I've made lots of TV shows in the past and I know what's involved. And even though I know we were working with a great team and everyone's got the best interests, until you see the final product, you're always still a bit like, but it's, I'm so happy with it. And I'm still nervous, though, about the first show going out. But
Of course. When is that? When is that?
The first show goes out on Thursday at 8 p.m. on BBC One. Yeah,
right.
It's coming Thursday.
I'm excited to watch this. I think it's going to be a really good eye-opener as well. It's just a positive way to, you know, change someone's life. And I think I'm really excited.
Yeah, me too. And, you know, it's not all about driving trends either. It's about actually creating a functioning capsule wardrobe and giving someone the foundations that they can build on as they move forward. And, you know, I think all of us, everyone on the Style Squad, we're very much about that. It's like we're being driven by longevity and also making our wardrobes work for us. Because I feel that so many people, they work for their wardrobe. And like, I'm kind of like, you know what? Life is busy enough. Getting dressed should be the easy part.
Yeah, no, completely.
I think that's the hardest.
Well, especially at the moment, I think actually, funnily enough, lockdown style has probably become a bit of a thing. Have you noticed... You know, people are way more into their casual wear like than they've ever been before. Do you think that will change the way that people perceive fashion for long term, or do you think it's just for now?
I think for now it's just kind of functional. I think, you know, fashion is so integrated with how we live our lives, and I think how we live our lives is going to change for the long term. So that will have an impact on fashion. I think how we shop for clothes. How the fashion industry produces trends. I mean, the bottom line is, you know, fashion has been broken for a long time. We've been living in a world which was forcing designers to, you know, always, always be creating newness and, you know, producing 5 or 6 or 7 seasons a year, which was just untenable, especially for the small, you know, the small brands who don't have massive budgets, who have small teams. It was just putting this enormous pressure on them. And then obviously then there's the sustainability of it. There's the, you know, the production and that whole. So I think the pandemic has offered
an opportunity
like to fix what's broken about fashion, which is quite interesting, you know. And already, you know, we're not going to have, like, London Fashion Week's not going to happen in the same way it did before. It's going to be virtual. A lot of the big fashion houses like Gucci have said they're breaking away from the strict seasons of, you know, summer, spring, summer, autumn, winter, resort, etc., etc., and they're going to have more fluid times where they'll release collections that are trans-seasonal, which is how our lives are.
Yeah.
I'd love to be able to say, oh my God, resort is such a big season for me.
Wouldn't we all, Darren?
You know, exactly. So it's kind of like, I think it's good.
Exactly, like what I'm wearing now is technically a winter shirt and it's July. So, you know, like...
It's short quite, sleep. Surely
it's
that's
not.
That's
it's not,
similar.
I've rolled it up.
Is it a flannel?
Yeah.
So yeah, okay, so that's quite a heavy, thick wool.
But in my flat is weirdly quite cold today. So you know what I mean? Like it's we practically many people are not living their lives by what is dictated in the shops anyway.
You never let anyone tell you you can't wear that shirt in summer.
I certainly won't.
Don't worry about that.
Well, Darren, thanks so much for speaking to us. Really appreciate it. And
Thank you.
We will be tuning in Thursday at 8.
For sure.
Thursday at 8 on BBC One. Yeah, listen, thank you so much. An absolute pleasure.
Really appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Thank you so much.
Lovely talking to you guys. Take care.
Amazing.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, I can't wait to watch, personally. I think it's going to be great.
I think it'll be amazing, actually.
I mean, I think that's actually going to be really worth a watch. I'll be watching anyway because my pal is in it.
Yes!
So, I'm intrigued to see. Because I wouldn't say, because mine and Joey's style probably a little bit different. So it'd be interesting to see what the kind of thing that he puts and then what Darren would put forward and blah, blah, blah.
I mean, we might take advice from this and change up our style. You never know. There's always room for improvement, guys.
Well, I haven't been shopping. I haven't shopped for a single thing since I've been in lockdown. Not one new item of clothing. It's very nice, both. Very nice.
Thank you.
I believe we have our second guest, Rhian Sugden, ready to come in. Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
It's Rhian Sugden. Hello, how are you?
Good, good. I'm all good, thanks.
You are looking gorgeous, which is really annoying for lockdown reasons. You know.
And your lighting is really good as well.
It's the first time I've literally got dressed and put makeup on in a long time, so...
Oh, really?
This occasion, the rest of the time, I've literally been living in tracksuit bottoms, washed my hair for the first time in weeks, so...
Oh, well, thanks. I appreciate you putting in the effort.
This is the best thing about lockdown. Just let your hair get greasy. No one will know. But obviously, you've been uploading pictures to Instagram. Are they just like ones that you've had before? Because, I mean, if there was no makeup on, you look stunning.
I stockpile images. So
I need to learn from you on that one. But how have you been finding lockdown so far?
Well, it's been a roller coaster. But I'm actually really adjusting to it now. So, I'm quite enjoying myself. I mean, what's not to like about it? I'm away from people, for a start. But yeah, I'm enjoying it. I'm finding it all right at the minute. There's certain things I miss. I miss eating out and I miss seeing like certain friends and family. But apart from that, it's just, I'm a lot more chilled out in lockdown because no road rage. I'm not too bothered about the queuing system at Tesco either because, I mean, when you get in.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it's all quite quick and smooth once you're in now, isn't it?
Yeah, and road rage as well. It's brilliant. There's no cars on the road. It's fab.
I love it. It's great. I wish it could be like this all the time, to be honest. We all should have designated times to go out the house.
It's true. I definitely think there's going to be a part of this when it's all over that people will miss, like the simplicity of it almost.
Yeah, it's much better. It's just... Life just seems a bit more chilled. I mean, obviously there's a lot going on out there, but when you're at home, it's just a bit peaceful, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
It really is.
But you have been working on a new product, haven't you, which you're talking to us about today?
We've been working on that for a while, actually, but it took us ages to get the tan up and running because obviously we had to strip back all the ingredients. But
yeah, so can you explain a bit about what it is and why this is a different kind of fake tan?
Yeah, so I've gone through a few rounds of IVF, and when you do IVF, you basically want to try and do anything to make it work. So I stripped back all my products, and because everything's got toxins and parabens and stuff that I've never really cared about before. But once you start looking into it, you realise you're actually putting a hell of a lot of shit in your body. So I thought, strip everything back. So try everything possible. So I can say I've literally tried everything. But I couldn't find a tan, so it was just pasty. And there's nothing worse when you feel crap. And obviously the weather was crap before lockdown. So it was just, I just thought, do you know what? I need to find something that we can do. So I approached Rose and Caramel and they worked their magic. And we have a special little tan, which I have a little bottle of here.
That's awesome. So it would apply in any way that like a normal tan would. And it just contains way less chemicals and things that the normal a normal tanning thing would.
Yeah, it's got no chemicals in it. It's all organic, so it's vegan friendly. I know certain people are funny about how certain chemicals are made and whatever, but yeah, it's just good for everything. I've not got it on at the minute, which I should have it on, but I've just literally said
I was going to ask you, is it sort of a known fact that a certain chemical in fake tan actually can affect your fertility? Do you know by any chance?
That's the thing. So, you don't say that it affects it, but toxins and parabens going into your skin can make you, like, all kinds of problems.
Yeah.
Not necessarily bad problems, but it's obviously healthier to put stuff on your skin that doesn't have any chemicals in it.
Yeah.
That's, we've just tried to strip it back, because a lot of people like myself that are trying to have babies want to try and avoid everything that could jeopardize it. So we're not saying that normal false tan will jeopardize your fertility, but at least ours, we can certainly say it definitely doesn't affect anything.
Yeah, and that's the thing. When people are going through IVF, from what I know one friend in particular that's done it, you do basically want to completely transform your diet. You want to kind of look at every aspect of your life to make sure that your body is at peak efficiency, really, don't you?
Yeah. And you go a bit, like, people are trying to conceive, go a bit crazy. It's just anything that might help your chances, you will try. I must be on about 19 supplements a day. But I'm happy to give it a try.
So how many rounds have you been through, if you don't mind me asking?
Two rounds so far, and we're hoping to start the third when lockdown finishes. So
okay.
How do you feel about that? How are you feeling?
Well, when the second round failed, I was having a bit of a breakdown about it. But now I've got a plan in place, I'm not so bothered. We've got a fridge load of injections downstairs. And then next to it, we've also got a fridge full of gin. So
what one do I go to today?
So it's like, we're ready to start. We can start now. That the clinic have said that priority patients can start now. And I'm classed as a priority because my egg count's so low.
Right.
Which means I could hit menopause within months, and as soon as that hits, then it's too late for me to do it. But I just want to piss up after lockdown.
I can completely understand that.
So have you sort of cut out all alcohol and stuff like that as from your diet and stuff?
I did until lockdown happened. But that's the thing. I want to be in top health when I start again. So I'm not ready to start yet. I need like a month of complete detox, because there's no point in me having this healthy tan and just drinking.
Yes, I mean, that is actually a very good point, Rian. Yeah.
So it's a bit hypocritical, really, but I intend to completely go back on strict diet and everything like that.
Well, I guess that's the point, isn't it? Because because of lockdown happening, I guess you don't know when you're going to be able to go back to the hospital to do it. So it kind of, I can completely understand that.
So it was just standstill. But yeah, gin's always better in lockdown.
I mean, yeah. I've actually had to, like, I'm basically having like dry weeks now because I was finding I was drinking way more than I normally was. It's weird, isn't it? There's just something about
down.
It.
I'm like,
but that's
like
what I mean. Some people have just found like, yeah, why would I bother drinking? But I just found like I was having Zoom calls with my friends and suddenly I'd have drunk a bottle and a half of wine and I'd be like, oh my God, I don't even realise I'd done it, you know? Like,
well, hangovers, like I've done a few Zoom calls with friends. I've spoken to friends more now than I would have spoken to them in real life.
Yeah, definitely.
And I've been hungover the day after because I've just smashed through a bottle of wine and not even realised.
Yeah.
That's the thing, because I think I had a few, I don't know if you've been on a house party, I had a few house party sessions and I was drinking wine. I was like, next week the next glass is gone and then I'm pouring another wine. I didn't realise, I've never drunk that much wine before, ever.
Oh, isn't it?
I think it's just something, there's something about being in your house and just feeling kind of comfort. I don't know, that's kind of where I think
yes,
it all comes from.
I
like,
agree.
You're not going to a bar to pay for it, it's just available in the fridge. You're still chatting with your friends. I don't know, it's a bit of a weird time, isn't it?
Yeah, and in supermarkets, everything seems to be on offer.
Which is dangerous.
It's like, keep drinking.
We've also noticed that you are going to be involved in a new documentary.
Yeah.
Coming up. What can you tell us about that?
So we filmed that not that long ago and it was due to come out in November. So I was mentally preparing myself for November because I'm just a bit nervous about being back on TV. because I seem to get a lot of stick for being a page three girl. People just can't seem to get the head round that I still like model my underwear and get my bra out on Instagram. People are so shocked by this.
Why do you think that is? Do you think that's just something in society, or you specifically, or?
I'm hoping it's not just me specifically. It makes me feel better that other people might get stick as well. But it's sometimes I end up on like the Daily Mail and stuff like that, and I think this isn't news. I've got my boobs out for the last 12 years of my life.
But this is the thing. I think even me going on Love Island, people are like, oh my God, she's this and that. And people just judge either way, you know. I think that's what it is. And sometimes see the press and the stickers, people interested in your life, people interested in you. So see it as a positive.
I know, I try and see it as a positive, but I just wish people would understand that's my job now. People keep going, she's desperate, she's getting her boobs out. No, I've literally done this 12 years now. If I was desperate, then I would have probably gone further, but I haven't.
Yeah, you haven't needed to. Yeah. So in this documentary, you're talking about your time as a page three girl, is that the case? So
basically, the 50 years of page three this year, and they've interviewed a few page three girls. So they've had me on it, and it's basically the highs and lows of page three. But because obviously no one's filming anything, it's been brought forward and it's on next week.
So you're a bit nervous then, are you?
A bit nervous, yeah, because when we was filming, we was on the wine, so I'm just nervous about this. And I definitely cried in it, so it's very dramatic.
Right, okay.
No, but then I think that's a good thing, because people think that, you know, from an outsider, they just give you stick online. They don't see how it actually emotionally affects you. So the fact that this program's going to be showing the other side of it, you know, it is emotional. It is an emotional roller coaster. So I think it actually people might look at you in a different way maybe after, I think.
Maybe. You never know how these things are going to show. And I did a topless shoot for the program. So probably my boobs going to be all over Channel 4 at 9 o'clock. It's going to go one way or the other for me.
So what? If you've got nice boobs, all I say is get it out, because you know how many girls have insecurities about their breasts, and you know, do they sit in right? Do they look right? If you're comfortable with them, just get them out.
That's actually in the trailer. That's when they're going to show the trailer. She showed it to me today, and I'm basically there like, my mum said, if you want to get them out, just get them out.
Anyway. Do you have any regrets about that time doing it?
Yes, I have a few regrets. Like obviously the whole Vernon Kay scandal. That's what I cry about in the documentary. Actually, that was a massive regret.
Of course.
And if I had a daughter now, I probably wouldn't let her get into page three. Weirdly.
Right.
Yeah. But I'm past the point of no return now. My boobs are all over the internet, so. Just got to embrace it, haven't I?
Exactly.
Sorry, go on, Jenna.
I was going to say, at the end of it, if you didn't know the effects of maybe doing page three modelling, you know, if your daughter was like, Mum, this is what I want to do, you probably would have been okay with that. Because now you see the effects of it, and you emotionally feel the effects of it, you don't want your daughter to go through that, so it's completely understandable.
Yeah, it's not really the effects of it. Like, 5 or 6 years ago, when page three was, like, the thing, loads of glamour girls wanted to be page three girls, it was great because there was only 10 of us, and people don't know that for the Sun. They just think it was a different girl every day.
Oh wow. Mm.
10 girls, and it was like an elite team of models, and to get into that someone had to be dropped, so it was a constant cycle. And if you stayed another year, you was like winning in the page three world. So back then it was great, but then social media appeared, Twitter appeared, everyone was getting the boobs out, everyone's a glamour girl. And the industry just folded on itself because we were no longer getting offers to get paid for jobs because everyone was getting the boobs out on the internet for free.
Yes.
So it literally did a full cycle. So 10 years ago, if I had a daughter and she said I could do page three, then maybe, yeah. But times have changed now. It's just a bit old-fashioned. And so many people hate it.
Like, well, it doesn't even exist anymore, does it?
It's ban the nipple.
ban the nipple. Do you think that's a good thing?
Now, yeah, I think it's just outdated and everything's just gone a bit PC mad, hasn't it? So it would never sit in society anymore. But back then, I don't think it's fair for the girls to get abused now for career choices that they made. Back then, it was a completely different time.
Exactly, yeah, yeah, I completely understand.
Agreed.
That.
And obviously, I mean, I've been getting loads of DMs from OnlyFans. So what's your views on that? I mean, even the OnlyFans Instagram DM'd me and was like, what do you think about this? And I was like,
I'm on OnlyFans.
Pardon?
Well, I'm on OnlyFans. I have an OnlyFans account.
What's your view on it? How does it work? Because I'm so interested in this.
So it's like an Instagram account, but obviously people pay to subscribe. So I charge, I think it's $14 a month, and people get exclusive content.
Yeah.
Just on my, and I try and speak to people, not the weirdos, I ignore those.
But isn't that what people, I would have thought that that's kind of what OnlyFans is for. It's more for people, I don't know. Are you treating it differently to that?
I do speak to a few of the people, because I mean, obviously people do join to interact with me, which is part of the experience. And then on my wall, I post like pictures, a bit like my Instagram, but more of them.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously topless pictures. I don't do any further than that. A lot of people go crazy.
Yeah, people. There's been stuff. People go insane. I'm like, what? How do I do that?
Yeah. But it's crazy. Like, the amount of people that are on OnlyFans now, it's bizarre. Like, even Kerry Katona's on it now.
Is she?
Well, she's on it now. And she's doing everything, apparently.
Oh.
I mean, don't quote me on that, because I don't know for definite, but she's definitely getting her boobs out.
I mean, I guess it's a way for people to make money, and if you're confident enough to do it, then why not take the money from the people that are willing to pay for it? I think that's.
I've sat down with my mum and my dad and my friends and been like, "Look, are you ashamed of me for doing this?" And all of them have said, "Like, my boobs are all over the internet. There's no going back on that now. So I'm not doing anything different."
Yeah. So, do you think there may come a time when you'll stop?
I've said like 2-3 years ago that I would stop, but here I am.
Not yet.
Do you know what? While you're looking amazing, I'm sure you look amazing to, you know, forever, but you know, while you look amazing, you're confident, just get them out, honestly. And do you know what I think as well? I mean, I'd like them that big as well, but you know when you think about it, like, men get their boobs out, men get their nipples out. Why is it that women's boobs and nipples are so considered so different to men? I can't get my head around that, and I don't think I ever will.
No, it's one of those questions, isn't it? I don't know. I don't know whether because women are seen as more of a sexual object with their top off, and men are just men just tits on a beach.
Yeah.
Relevant pair of nipples that don't do anything. I mean, I don't know what the... It's bizarre.
Although,
I will say, I can't sunbathe topless on a public beach.
You can't?
No, that's weird, isn't it?
As in legally, or you just wouldn't want to?
I'm so uncomfortable.
Oh, that is weird. That is interesting.
Do you know what? Probably because I'm trying to suss it all out. I'm like, maybe because, you know, when like you just sort of like behind a camera, and then to have people like live looking at them, it's a bit more like invasive, I think.
Maybe.
I don't know whether, because I see like loads of beautiful women on beaches and stuff with little boobs walking around, and I think they look great, whereas mine are overly large, and they're natural, so they obviously... just a bit in your face bouncy when I'm just walking on the beach. I feel like people would be like, oh my god.
Maybe I can see what you mean. And yeah, I mean, the couple of times I've been on, like when I've been in Spain and stuff, and there have been topless women, I mean I'm gay, I don't care, but like you do notice. I mean, you can't not notice, right? So I don't know,
a little pair of boobs walking on the beach, you just think, oh. But if you, I'd be like, oh my god, look at her bouncing down the beach. I just can't do it. I've never been able to do it.
Well, that is strange. Interesting, but one of those mental things which just is the way it is, I guess.
Get out for like national newspapers and something really simple, but I
can't. Well, Rian, thank you so much for speaking to us today. Really appreciate it. What's the name of the fake tan again?
It's Clarity by Rose and Caramel.
Great, and the documentary will be on next week.
Next Thursday.
Ooh, well, we'll be tuning in.
From social media.
Yeah, probably best for the immediate aftermath, but you can go straight back on.
And good luck with your IVF treatment as well.
Yeah, good luck.
The best.
Thanks.
Thank you so much, Rian. Nice to speak to you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, bless, she's amazing.
Yeah, nice to hear her be so honest as well. I know she's been through a lot in her career, so yeah, interesting to hear from.
Agreed. So we've got our next guest, Jamie. It's Leng.
I believe it's Leng, like my surname.
Leng.
Hello, hi. Jamie.
Hi guys. How are you?
Really good. How are you doing?
My girlfriend is using the the next door room, so I can't. She's doing a live.
Oh, well, yeah. This is life now, Jamie.
I can't get in there. Really frustrating.
I actually believe I saw every single time. I saw this bedroom on this morning the other day when you were on with Spencer.
I wasn't on this bed. I was in the other room. But then Ruth called. Thought I was Spencer.
Yes, I also noticed that. I think she only got confused because she was just getting the names confused in her head.
Yeah.
I think she does really know who you are.
That's my biggest fear, I think, getting someone's name wrong. Even saying your last name. Stephen was saying that you say your last name the same as his last name.
Yeah,
right?
So I'm Stephen Leng, but L-E-N-G. Yeah, yours is Leng too, but just L-A-I-N-G.
That's exactly it. Mine's Scottish, so I have sort of Scottish roots. So
We're probably related. Jamie.
We're related, 100%. And so I've always kind of said, everyone's always said Leng, so I've just left it.
It's a constant source of irritation to me because I have an E in my name and people still call me Leng. It's just the way, I think it's just people
guys,
just don't get it.
You're complaining about your last names. Have you seen mine?
Oh yeah, fair one.
Mine is like the longest thing in the world, like Shimonides, and people say chimpanzee, Shimbondies. I give up.
I would say if I saw it for the first time, I would say Chimonides. I'd say Chimonides.
Chimonides? Yeah, okay, that's not too bad. It's Shimonides.
Is that
that's not too bad? Yeah, so don't complain about yours, but mine is literally the longest thing in the world.
Yeah, okay, fair. Okay, you win. Fine, you win best surname.
You win the name off. Yeah.
Thank you.
So Jamie, tell us a bit about this work you've been doing with Spencer.
Yeah, so my buddy Spencer, so I've known Spenny for about 16 very long years with him. Wow, he is an odd human. And we are very close friends, very good buddies. And we've been in lockdown, obviously, so we couldn't contact anyone, be in contact with anyone unless you were already with them. And I've always had this kind of idea that are we separated by 6 degrees of separation? We always hear these kind of things. And so I decided to pitch this concept for a podcast to decide whether we can connect to people in 6 calls or less. Are we separated by 6 calls? Can we talk to a friend who then puts us in touch with a friend who puts us in touch with a friend? Because firstly, I quite like meeting famous people. I think famous people are hilarious because famous people think they are so important, which I think is so funny as well for some reason. And I wanted to test this theory out. And then secondly, Spencer is the total opposite. Spencer really doesn't like people. His only friends in the world are his wife, his son, and me. And so we kind of decided that perhaps he needs more friends as well. So we just put it to the test. So we created a podcast, which is called 6 Degrees from Jamie and Spencer. And we try and contact people that we would never meet in real life. So whether that's Neil Armstrong or Ricky Gervais or Idris Elba, or whoever it may be, and we come up with different people and we try and get in touch with them via friends. And there are rules as well, so we can't DM them. We has to be organic and all these kind of things. And so far, it's been pretty hilarious.
And have you managed to get everyone you've wanted to?
So the Ricky Gervais episode finished, it's coming out this Thursday, and you have to find out if we got Ricky.
Okay.
But if we don't get them, it's all about the journey. So
it's always all about the journey, not the destination. That's a good way to be.
Correct me if I'm wrong, did Spencer think that, is it Tom Hardy that copied his style or something?
Spencer's convinced that Tom Hardy copies his style. So he thinks that Tom Hardy got a motorbike because he has a motorbike. He believes that he shaved his head. Tom Hardy shaved his head because Spencer shaved his head. He's convinced that. And Spencer is such a sociopath that he actually believes it's true, which is hilarious.
I have to say my one time when I interviewed Spencer was to do with Made in Chelsea, and I'll agree with you on the sociopath.
Yeah, you hated him as well? I know, it's terrible.
That was a difficult interview. That was a really difficult chat.
And we
were supposed to have about 20 minutes. And by 5, it was over. And I was like, thank God for that, because I don't think I can do any longer.
Do you know what? He's one of these people that is very unique. He's very driven. He's very kind of... he's just unique. but he's got a heart of gold, and he will do anything for people that he loves. So fortunately, he loves me, and so he does. He helps me out. He loves his wife. Like I said, that's the only people he looks after.
That's
so
as much love as he's got to give in his heart.
That's all it is. That's all it is.
How have you been finding lockdown, Jamie?
Do you know what? It's been up and down. Like everyone has been. I'm very good, and I like a lot of. I like human contact. I like seeing people and being around people like we all do. You know, we're kind of these tribal creatures. Mm. And so that was kind of tricky. My girlfriend and I have nearly broken up about 400 times. We nearly broke up over Tupperware. Over Tupperware. Yeah.
Explain, please. Explain.
Stop putting stuff in Tupperware. Duke, eat it. Stop putting it in Tupperware. What are you doing?
Leftovers. That's what you put.
No, I hate Tupperware. Get it away from me. Stop Tupperware. And then why is there like brown marks on the towel? And she's told me it's definitely fake tan. I'm like, well, why is it on the towel? Why is it on the towel? I don't know. It comes out in the wash. No, it doesn't. It doesn't come out of the wash. It stays on.
It doesn't. Well, with my dad, I've just got to the point now. I'm like, Dad, just don't speak to me. He's like, what? And I'm like, just stop communicating. Because when we communicate, we argue. So we may as well just not speak.
Yeah. That's when you have to learn sign language. So you can't. You just have to sign to each other. So it's fine.
Is that the solution then, Jamie? You're just going to try not speaking?
try not speaking or breaking up. I don't know which one of those. I think breaking up is harder. Breaking up was more complicated, so we decided not to speak. No, we've done okay, you know what I mean? And we were super lucky. I went into sort of alert mode before all of this lockdown thing happened and said, we're going to go into lockdown. Let's go to the countryside. My mum lives in the countryside. So we were pretty lucky. So we had beautiful countryside, lovely greenness and walking in fields and things like that. So we're a lot luckier than most. Do you know what? I think with all of us, I think we all work pretty hard. And actually, when you stop, you realize that you probably needed to stop. And I think I definitely needed to stop for a bit and rest and relax and things like that. And we probably all felt that. So it was quite nice to learn how to meditate because there was nothing much else to do. And
doing that. How are you finding it? Is it any good? Or is it just like one of the things that everyone just says, I'm meditating?
Boring as hell. Sitting with your own thoughts for 10 minutes. What are you talking about? Are you mad?
No, thank you.
No, way too. Don't leave me with my own thoughts. That's crazy of you. No, but it was kind of okay. And I was exactly one of those people. I said, I'm going to treat this like prison. I'm going to learn a language and get really stacked and really ripped. And that's what I did not do. I did nothing of that. So I didn't learn a language and I just put a lot of weight. So that was
perfect. Same. I think
Stephen went for one run. Did you go for one run, Stephen?
I went for two runs. Yeah.
How were the runs? Were the runs all right?
Absolutely awful. And all I wanted to do was get home and crack open the beer that I had in my fridge. So,
I thought you said crack open the crack. I thought that was
no, well, that's a whole different story, which I'm not prepared to talk about publicly.
I decided one day too, I thought, right, I'm going to go and do a marathon. So I was like, well, I'll just go and do a marathon. Turns out, marathon is pretty hard to do. I did not. Woo! It was a long
way. Without practice, yeah.
Thought I could do it. Turns out it's really hard.
Really hard. Are you planning on coming back to London anytime soon then?
So I'm now back in London. So I came back to London a week and a half ago or something like that. And it was quite weird coming back because then you meet everyone and you have to do that weird like, oh, hello.
Hello. Yeah.
Oh, hello. There's not very much to talk about because we've all done nothing. So hello. So we've all had that kind of awkward moment. But apart from that, it's been all right.
Good. Glad to hear that.
Amazing. And obviously, Strictly didn't happen for you. Was it last year?
It was last year.
I had you as my favourite to win, Jamie. I was fuming.
Stephen, listen, I was Billy Elliot. I would have freaking won that. 100%.
I know you would. And the public would have loved you because you're funny. I'm telling you now.
I had that. And someone freaking snapped my ligament. That's
amazing. Why did it happen? How did you do it?
It's very boring, but basically you have something called the plantar fascia ligament, which is the ligament that runs in the foot, and you can get something called plantar fasciitis, which is where it inflames. And to tell you a little secret, the reason why I got it is because I bought on Amazon these little things called lifts, they give you a little bit more height in the old shoes.
Yeah.
Don't buy those. Terrible things. So basically, it means that you're on high heels all the time. So the muscle in your leg become weak, and it just, basically totally screwed up my foot. So anyway, you get plantar fasciitis, which is like the inferior ligament in my right foot, and it's pretty sore. It's weirdly called actually policeman's foot, because policemen get it because they walk around a lot. Anyway, so I got a cortisone injection put in my foot because they said, look, you're going to have to put these insoles in and yada, yada, yada. And I said, just give me anything that will cure it. They said, we can cortisone inject. And I said, let's do that. Bad idea, because that just numbs the pain, so you just don't feel anything. So I was then dancing on it for about 3 weeks without realizing, having no clue that it was hurt. On the night of the very first show, when I honestly thought I was Billy Elliot, I was like, this, it's my dream to be here.
This is my time.
I'm going to win, and I'm going to be the UK sweetheart. This is going to be, it's written in the stars. And I did this amazing thing where you went to pop up from the ground. And as I popped up from the ground, I felt it snap, and it was like searing pain. And being British, you just continue on. So I just, oh my God, I have to dance on. But yeah, it had snapped, and it's just one of those injuries that it's pretty hard to go straight back on. Yeah.
And has it recovered now? Is it recovered now?
It's much better now. It's still not there, because I went to about four other sort of physios to try and get the right physio to say it'll be okay, it'll be fine, and everyone just said, look, this is 7 months. Yeah, it's just no way. And I said, just give me anything, let's make it happen. It's better now. It's much better now. It was sore for about 5 months. I couldn't really do much, you feel for people who are actual athletes or actual dancers, all these people who get injured. It must really suck.
So what about the next series then? Is it happening?
Do you know what?
Are they in touch?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know.
Okay, Jamie, sure.
I don't know. I don't know anything. But if they were, it's one of those shows that everyone would love to do it, because it is honestly an insane experience. So if I was asked to do it again, I would love to do it again.
Okay, got it. I think you are going to be doing
it. You've got such a bad poker face.
What? That's true. If I was asked to do it again, I would love to do it again. I just don't know if I'm going to be asked.
Yes. I think, to be honest, they don't even know if the show's definitely happening at the moment.
I don't know. I have no idea if it's going on or anything like that. Yeah. But it would be amazing. It would be amazing.
Okay, Jamie. Well, thanks so much for speaking to us today. Really appreciate it, as ever.
Are you kidding me, guys? Thank you so much.
You are a light in the darkness.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, guys. Keep that running up. Go running. Go for your third run, I dare you.
Yes, Stephen, let's do it.
We'll see.
I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you so much. Speak soon.
Take care. Bye,
guys. Bye.
I 100% think he's doing Strictly, don't you?
Yeah, because when you say, have they been in contact? I don't know.
He was like,
on your phone. I don't know. You know if someone's been in contact because you're on your phone.
Yeah, surely your agent would tell you. But who knows? Yeah.
Hey, they won't like sort of risk losing him anyway. They'll definitely get him back. He's gonna win it. We just know.
He's a good egg. So
unless you're on it, Stephen.
I'm not a Billy Elliot though. Sadly, I'm more of a flat-footed elephant.
No, you'll be surprised when you get the rhythm going. You've got the right teacher. You're gonna be going full swing.
What was that? The Murder on the Dance Floor.
So what are your plans for the next week? Are you going to take up running, like Jamie said to? Run for the third time?
No, can't be asked. But what I am probably going to do is... I'll tell you what I am going to do. I am going to start reading this, which...
I'm no longer talking?
Longer talking to white people about race?
Oh, because it's got that right.
Yeah, you can't see it because it's in the white. So I actually got that delivered today. I'm going to start reading that because I've been really inspired by all of the Black Lives Matter movement, and I kind of want to do some learning, some teaching myself about the
issues.
Definitely.
There's a film called 13, which
Netflix.
Is supposedly meant to be really, really good at educating yourself. So I'm yet to watch that. I know that Katie's watched it, so she said it's really, really good. So maybe I should watch that as well, because I think... Again, it's one of them ones we just don't want people to forget what's going on. We all still need to continue to
keep
do
up
our
the
part.
Ante. Yeah.
Yeah, just so actually the biggest change happened. So I think a few things are happening now, which is good. So obviously the police officers that were at the scene, and also the police officer that kneeled on, well, killed George Floyd. Yeah, they were sentenced now, which is amazing. And I think there was an image or a video of one of a police officer actually pushing over an old man. He cracked his head open, him there. They've also lost their jobs, I think, too.
There's definitely a sea change, I think. There's a change in the way people are thinking about policing and the way they, especially in America, but also here, you know, about the way police work, and I'm intrigued to see what's going to happen. So I want to do some more teaching myself about how I can help change the system in which I am a part of the problem. So that's the cheery end to the show that I
love that.
Until next time, bye.
See you later, guys.